we'll see if someone links it to. Welcome anybody. We've got any visitors here today that aren't usually here. Yes. And who are you folks?
Sister's husband and daughter. Mother and father and parents.
Friend. Father of Leanne. Welcome.
And husband.
Whole row of people. We got any other visitors?
Another good friend here.
Taromi, welcome. And then we've got some down the back there. I don't recognise. Someone's pointing at you, so if you. So we've got some little grandchildren here from the Weir. Welcome. Where are you folks from?
Christchurch.
Golly, that's a long way. It is. If you're walking. Let's just open the word of prayer. There's one more.
Yeah, they're from the Taranaki Gate.
Taranaki, where's that? Welcome from far north. Beautiful Taranaki. Righto then, let's just pray. Father, I thank you that we can come and join together and worship you. Father, thank you that you are the God that's in control and you have created everything else around us. Lord, thank you so much for your blessed creation. Lord, I just pray that as we come this morning, that we will be able to open our hearts, open our minds, and come to worship you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Okay, our worship team is going to lead us in song.
Okay.
minutes just as we think about that. And how about we just pray for Marty and family and for us as a parish. Father, it's with heavy heart and with sadness that we have come to this point when our Reverend Marty has moved on. Lord, we accept his resignation. Lord, we just pray that as he moves or has moved to his new place, and that as we move on, that Lord, you'll lead us and guide us all in this situation. Father, it's not an easy thing for us to be dealing with. But Lord, we know with your help, you can take us forward. And that you can unite your people to carry on and give glory back to you. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will work through each one of us, left here, but also will work on through the Vantwell family as they move on with their lives as well. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy birthday. Have we got any celebrations?
I'm not a
80th birthday,
I can't
wait. Right. Mrs. Smith. Come to be an octarian. Is that right? Is that 80th?
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. All right, well, we need to go anyway to get to that. Well done. Anything else we can celebrate?
There's
a wee article that was in the news link about Laura Smith and how she's done well and been an excellent student at school. Well done, Laura. Anybody else? No? Okay. Nothing else? Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for Mrs. Smith, and I thank you for her reaching the age of 80. I thank you for the amount of experience and wisdom that she has put into her own Waikeka church here. Lord, as she carries on in her life, I pray that you'll be with her and that she'll know the blessings that you have for her. Lord, thank you for her. Lord, we also thank you for Laura, and I thank you for helping her towards the excellence that she's achieved in her results at school. I just pray that you will continue to work with her and that you will continue to lead her on in her future path as her years are laid out ahead of her. Lord, thank you for this time. And anybody else who hasn't put their hand up or hasn't been mentioned, Lord, you know all of us have had achievements. You know all the ones that have had birthdays. Lord, I just pray you will bless those people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I got to have a shower this morning.
And I have a couple of volunteers already lined up. Darren and Courtney, would you like to step right up? And we're going to have a go at the three-legged race. How do we change in the church that our aisle is not the space, but we're going to shoot down here, hopefully? We're going to show you how good they are at doing this, aren't you, girls? Okay, so let's get your leg tied up. See what the three-legged race. Now, these guys haven't had a practice, so be kind to them, okay? They are cousins, but okay, do you want to get...
Hang on, I'm
going to
take
a general. Anything could happen. Like, well, actually, it's a good idea. They could do it. How many of you are ready?
Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there.
and stay in this house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace be upon it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet. When you leave that home or town, I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town.
Thank you. So isn't it amazing that you can actually hear from God and listen to his voice through the Bible, but also from your cell phone? God's word can be shared in so many different ways. Music team, can you share more of God's word for God's blessings?
you're wondering why the kids are still here, I know for me, for my personal self, the way I came to know Jesus was actually hearing people sing, and it gave me the love of music, and it also taught me so much about what church is. And so I always wondered we were hard when we take our kids away right at the start of the service. So they've stayed a wee bit longer today, which is probably a wee bit different to what we usually do, so I hope that hasn't offended anybody. But let's just pray for the kids as they go to Sunday school. Father, I thank you for kids. I thank you that you say, come unto me, bless the children, bless the kids. Father, I pray that you will bless these kids as they go out to Sunday school. Bless Laura as she teaches them. Give her the words to speak. Lord, I pray that when she speaks, that you will speak to these kids and their hearts will be open to receive your message. Father, thank you for this time that we've been able to spend together to sing songs about you, about who you are. And Lord, I do pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, yeah, God. Leanne's going to talk to us today and share with us what God's been laying on her heart. So let's just pray for Leanne. Father, we thank you for Leanne and we thank you for the message that you've given her. Lord, I just pray that you'll use her as a vessel now to share the message that she's given, that you have given to her to give to us. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Yeah, there's a message, so don't shoot the messenger. Dear Lord, I pray for this message that I know has come from you over these years. I pray for clarity and understanding to those that you're wanting to speak to, that wisdom does indeed come down from you and their knowledge goes out. Please, Lord, let your revelation speak to each one here today, as the need be, that you would indeed illuminate your word to bring you glory. I pray now more of you and less of me. Amen. The word unity. What is the dictionary's meaning of the word unity? 1. State of being one. 2. Mutual agreement. 3. The state of being a single thing that is composed of separate parts, organisations, etc. In the dictionary it had a dot 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 moves towards church unity, which I thought was interestingly placed in a college student dictionary. So unity, something created from the beginning, the state of being one with separate parts. Our God created the world and started over time to unify it. A flow, seasons follow seasons. When all is in unity, there is a flow. What an amazing job he has done in creation. But don't we see the outcome when we, as mankind, can put a few spokes in the wheel to make this world that was initially united, disunited? Pollution, debris, streams, air, waste, war, etc. A human footprint has certainly left its mark. God wanted unity in the beginning with Adam and Eve. But you know how the course of events went there. This too was spoiled, and human nature was born. Just think if we had a unified world, there would be no self-centeredness, dictation, separateness, selfishness leading to war. People would work together. Unity can be talked about in all aspects of our lives. Work, family, friends, and even our health. And the more is placed before me, how fast the word becomes. But know clearly, where there is no unity, there is no moving forward. And coupled with God, as all things should be, no blessing, no peace or flow. Its themes are present throughout our Bible, but none more than I discovered in Ephesians. And you can take a look at my Bible and see the amount of times unity and unified appears. convey now with as much clarity for you to follow this message that the Lord has been showing me over these past years. And I ask you to listen and pay close attention, as it could be like one of those movies. If you miss a piece of the plot, you may miss the storyline. Welcome to my world. So that's how I do tend to operate, which can be frustrating for members of my family, friends, and to keep up with me. But in a similar parallel, that is my relationship with the Lord. Receiving pieces of what he is talking specifically to me about, which could be the ending coming at the beginning. Rest assured, those that are really listening and seeking, I believe shall see the key and unlock the door. Firstly, a vision came to me not long after we came down here in 2001, and it has been like a wheel turning ever since. It won't leave me. It was of a pebble going into the water. The ripples would be far outreaching. As time progressed, the Lord showed me we were the pebble, joining onto God and his creation, the water. And then the rings would form outwards, working together with him in this wonderful word that came, unity. Having his love, relationship, this would impact our lives and extend far and wide. This was the first part, I say a key, and for ages the door remained unopened. It was kept before me, but I knew there would be more doors down the track to be opened as a past experiences. The Lord gives me a forerunner of the future of what is to come, a preparation. A bit like a book with the ending starting at the beginning, but I do know he does work all things out for good. Not as I understand, but when the timing is right, he clearly reveals all. So I continued seeking, listening and praying, always knowing more was to come. I trust in him. So when the next lock to be opened came, it fitted perfectly. And that's when I first spoke to Marty, that he really had prayed and asked God, was our church where he was meant to be. He told me he needed a 100% unified vote. Nothing would have been viable for him to have moved here. Wow, it was then the door unlocked again. A tremendous encouragement that we were a unified church. If this was a test or a place on Marty's behalf, to have a unanimous vote, it was what we and Marty wanted for a move forward, so it was. I then just tucked this away, but again, something was shifting. The Lord was showing me more, and there was a deep stirring, changing. It was at the time like a wave seemed to come over my vision. It started not a flow, but a lot of waves breaking over the flow or ripple. The rest of this message came to me encapsulating and explaining more of my earlier vision. This happened in November 2011. I remember clearly saying to the Lord, if this is going to turn into a talk or a message in church, you can forget it. I delivered my testimony, which at the time was something I grapple with, as I would be explaining this message. It was going to be hard enough. And as always, the Lord has a great sense of humour and timing. I remember reading at the time about Moses and what God was asking him to do, to speak to his people. Moses said, Lord, I am slow of tongue, and surely someone else could do this. I thought to myself, yes, you poor chap. Then I thought about putting this message together for someone else to deliver. Maybe my friend Cynthia, who did the children's talk, she could do it. Then I read on about Moses, and of course, he had the same idea, because he was interviewing Aaron, and it said how the Lord's anger burned against Moses. Not a good move. I have a fear and respect for the Lord, and there are enough examples of stubborn people not being obedient to the Lord and the outcome of the Bible. I'll mention Jonah for once, but ending up in Wales is kind of not a good option. I need to press on. So I mentioned back in November what was happening and this message I started to formulate to my prayer group. And on that day, a word came to Fiona. It was submission to his mission and purpose. Allow the Spirit to display if you choose to honour him. I knew the Lord wanted me to submit and not be a Jonah and run away to what he was calling me to do. Another key in the door and a vote. You need to pass on more of what the Lord is saying to you. Okay, bear with. Where is this going, you may ask? For those who have already fallen asleep, I'll summarise. About 10 years ago, this vision came. People asked, going into the word of God, rings going out, the word unity constantly placed before me, as was the vision. Marty's words of 100% unified vote to come here, disturbance, stirring of waves. The Lord's telling me to start a preparation of his message that he spoke to me back in November 2011, which I did start with. Then a wave was placed. Again, the door closed. I knew it would be for a time, and quite happily, I accepted the wave. I have to digress here and say I'm a newcomer among you, only been here for 7 years, so I still do not know why the Lord has brought us over here, where our dairy farm sold. We were looking all over the country, but the doors always kept closing on viable options for us, and this opened over here to purchase our farm. Something I place firmly on the Lord's hand. So I really believe when we are seeking Him and praying, He brings all things about, and we just know when we know that it is right. The next part now is the last part of my door to open. The last key of which I am certain, as we all were, that Marty was the right person picked for our church. After all, we all voted, which was also reiterated, and a majority not accepting his resignation, which I think really would show Marty our support. Preceding Marty, we had so many different people speaking to us every week, which I truly enjoyed. All the different people and characters that flowed one week after the next, a small sort of colour and flavour that was placed before us. But in this key, God clearly spoke to me, however, of the difference that would be, for having someone speak and that consistency would be difficult. This was the turbulence I have been shown in my vision. Marty had been on a journey like someone stepping into any new position after training. It takes time and time, and as we are employers, the trainer, we have to be mindful and unified as church to go and be gracious and accepting in this position. A good question for all of us. I, for one, have always taken huge amounts away in my spirit each week. As Roy spoke, wisdom comes down from the Lord and knowledge goes out. Jesus used parables. Can I now get you to liken our situation to a smoothie? You don't just have a smoothie by adding milk, you add ice cream, fruit, berries, nuts, a variety. Marty was a component. We as church were the other part, coupled with God the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit to what God would want them, a 100% yes vote to get Marty here. Then we had a smoothie. If we want to go ahead and enjoy our smoothie, we need all the parts of flavour and something. The next part of my message is, it was for me. It's not meant as a preaching or telling you what to do, really a message that as the Lord has been showing me certain things, I have been willingly wanting to look in a mirror and say, I have a history, but I want you to make a future for me and be the clay on the potter's wheel. Sometimes it's not easy to hear things about ourselves, but until we do and come to the point of change, our lives do not flow. We need to combat the waves to get our water smooth, not choppy. There is nothing like skiing on water that is like glass. Is he, Jono? If you're a water skier, it is heaven. But try to ski on the rough, turbulent stuff. We need to have this look at ourselves to see what the Lord is wanting us to be. I love the saying, we read our Bible, but our Bible indeed does read us. I believe the Lord wants to do transformation, that we should be working on this throughout our lifetime to reach where He wants us to be. I've got with all of these next options, so I could start my journey. Firstly, with the Lord, spending time and asking Him. He does speak very clearly, all in different ways. I have diaries of what He has been telling me specifically, and I have left specific instructions when anything ever happens to me that they come with me to my sister. I have prayed for a spiritual friend for a very long time and I'm happy to say that the Lord brings all good things to those who wait and seek Him. If you ask, listen carefully to what they are trying to say. Is it a common thing? I know the Lord shows me a lot too, but getting other perspectives are important and really listening to them. Is there a common theme or are you constantly awash in relationship turbulence? Take these things on board. I know this message is just not for me. If I made 100, I would still need to be working on what God is wanting them to be. But the difference is trying hard with his help to admit in change. So I know through 10, the Lord wants us to help change it. These are also some other relationship resources that the Lord has shown me which could be helpful. I said to my kids at times when they were struggling with schoolmates or even gelling with teachers, pray about your relationships. Let God do the melding and show you how to get along with those people. Sometimes he puts the irritating different personalities alongside to refine us. There is no walking away from this particular situation of teachers, etc. But the Lord has really helped meld these situations when you do not have two sparks flying off each other. One has different perspectives. But the flip side too, there are instances, just like in Cynthia's children's story, Matthew 10, that says you need to wipe the dust off your feet to keep unity. If people are not listening to your words, you do need to walk away. As Christians, I always thought we needed to stay and pray and work it all out. But when you apply this message, and I can tell you firsthand, it works amazing in situations when you know that the Lord's discerning that you do have to work away, leaving in God's hands. He then makes changes on your behalf, dramatic changes in some of my experiences. Sometimes we can be holding a thing too tightly, or as things of the past, when I am doing this, holding something too tightly, he'll put a major distraction in the way to remove my worrying, and then he can work. And like, just in behaviour, I just was amazed. There's a couple of impressions came to me when I was typing up this message. And one was Monty Roberts, the Horse Whisperer. And I don't know if any of you have ever read his book, but he's a really cool guy. And I love horses, and I used to read all sorts of books that he had, or just on horses. But this guy would take himself out in the desert, and a pair of binoculars, and he would watch these wild mustangs. And a lot of the time, the yearlings, the colts would be misbehaving, and the herd would gather, and they would drive them out. And, just turn your backs on them. Nothing works for a herd animal to be driven away from the herd. And then they would try and come back and join up, and he would drive them off again. But they would drive them off again. And Monty used this when breaking in, which the cowboys used to do, breaking in horses. This is a much kinder way that he would have them in a round pen, send them off, and they would come and join up. And I kind of think, you know, nature is really cool because, you know, God put this in these animals to be able to give them ways to cope with relationships and with whatever the nature is going on within the herd. But, and also, you know, examples throughout the Bible, you know, especially the Old Testament, of how the Lord turned his back on kings. You know, throughout Kings and Chronicles, all the kings that were there, they didn't listen. And he turned, the Lord did turn his back on their bad behaviour, and it was really difficult. Also, Joyce Meyer was another example. She had a bit of a hard life, her and her brother, and she took her brother in. And she turned her life around. She wanted him to do the same. She gave him every chance, counselled him, fed him, worked with him, gave him jobs. But the Lord was saying, you know, you've got to cut him loose. You've got to let him stand on his own two feet. And the more you do for him, you're not helping him. So he did, but she did. And she just said, look, you've got your job, you've got everything flat, everything set up. Unfortunately, all the opportunities that she gave him, his choice, he didn't get that one, and unfortunately went out on the street and died. So, you know, everything was given to that person in that situation. So, yeah, it's quite difficult. And I think, you know, she probably could have blamed herself, but, yeah, as with God, we get choices to make. So this is the get quick resource part of my message. Obviously you all have Bibles, so you pretty much know that it's kind of not rocket science. But it's the 10 commandments to have unity. And the first one, the biggest one, is being humble. Seek the Lord with all your heart. And I haven't done this by standing up, I've done this down on my hands and knees. And saying, Lord, help me in this situation, putting pride aside. Get with a trusted family member or mentor or friend for help or critique. Number two, understand we are all different, but if we truly want to change, we need to pray, pray,
admit we're not always right. Four.
That's a hard one.
Four. Being able to say sorry or confess to the Lord or those we have hurt. It's a big part to move on acknowledging and recognition of sorting out doubt. Five. Don't change people. It's what we want. Leave it to God. Don't be putting the square pegs into round holes. Look at what it is that God wants, not us. And six. This is a tough one because I think we all want to fix things, but sometimes you kind of just need to mind your own business and stop the idle words. Remember, one match can burn a forest. Seven, sometimes we need to walk away, still pray, but to keep unity, we need to have God's discernment on this. Eight, realising the consequences for our actions. There is always, unfortunately, cause and effect. Action, reaction. The fallout of the wrong things we do. It is imperative to learn lessons to move on to the future. Sometimes it's not what we say, but how we say it our time. And this can be used. And the term attitude is everything comes into play. Realise we'll kind of mess up, but being a work in progress, we have a loving God who really wants us to succeed. Keep going to Him. It all starts with a willingness to look at ourselves to change. Don't worry that you haven't arrived yet. God wants to see your heart and that you care and are working, changing, transforming. Just remember though, in the twinkling of an eye one day, we will all be changed completely. Won't it be cool that we're actually giving Him a hand along the way? This is the unity motto. If we can be what God wants us to be, we will have unity. These scripture readings came to me as I've been really praying for confirmation to even do this message. Who am I? This is stuff for me. So really grateful. But I knew the Lord wanted it handed on. Then on one day, eight Bible verses plus Psalm 133 and Matthew 10 came to me, and I knew as the Lord had been talking to me that it was meant to be shared. That's how God works. Then I received a prophetic word, which was the icing on the cake after the Lord had been speaking to me of exactly the same thing. And this person had no idea of what was going on, so it was really cool. This was the word given. Something new is brewing. See, I do a new thing. Churches are being prepared for a fresh sense of my spirit in this area. And it's a time of unknown for people, and they may be dismayed and fearful. But this is all part of my preparation. I am stirring the pot, setting things right, bringing unity among my people. So my spirit can move more powerfully. Pray for a greater unity. And this is the Bible verse, Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. It was a perfect word, and I really felt, and these were my confirming verses I got in a day. Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose. The Lord guided them by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. You will hear a voice say, turn around and walk here. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway to your life. And I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So, rejoice in the Lord and be glad all who obey Him. Obey Him. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all those who keep His covenant and obey His decree. I know, Lord, that a person's life is not his own. No one is able to plan his own course. Show me the path where I should walk, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to follow. And this is my personal favourite, which I pray every day. Maybe sometimes I wonder that I should be, but it's a verse and it's not to be taken lightly. But the Lord really does show me, and I'm sure if you pray it and you want to know things, He's going to show you too. And it's in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Ask me and I will tell you secrets you do not know about things to come, which He has been doing. He is a faithful God and I stand on His promises. So this is the clincher. To fear the Lord is to recognise God's attributes, His holy, almighty, righteous, pure and all-knowing, all-powerful and all-wise.
when we recognise who God is and who we are, and we fall at his feet in humble respect, that is the very first part of our unity of commandment. We have to humble ourselves and say we each need help. To get rid of pride, a very hard thing, only then will he show us how to choose his way. I know revival can come at any time, at any stage, for anyone and anywhere. The Lord chooses. There are accounts of it all over the world. But I really believe it's not us waiting on the Lord, it's the Lord waiting on us at his church. His bride, are we ready? We have to have unity to be unified. Firstly, joining on to God individually, getting that right, then the rings go out to others. It does not start with the person next to us, it starts with us. How can we get this glow? By examining ourselves, putting our lives under that microscope or look at a mirror. We can make lots of excuses. Just the way I was brought up, or I'm a perfectionist and expect the best from myself and all around me, or I'm too old to change, or I just can't be bothered. Or it can be the influence that's around us. Friends or even clubs or things that are just not God-honouring. You will take the characteristics of what you are involved with. The excuses go on, but I believe, as Roy McKenzie spoke, we are at crossroads as church. We need to be right. And we can pray for revival, but until we have refining, we have to get it right. For future blessing and flow. Eternity is a long time, and in the meantime, there are a lot of lives coming and going out there. I'm searching and learning. I pray that fire catches. We are a great church, a great and faithful people who have such wonderful hearts, who I really admire. But I know, just like our old church here, we can do with a coat of paint for transformation. If you think you're perfect and you don't need help, come and see me. I'd love to know your secrets. Because none of us are perfect. We aren't God. But he wants to make us more like him. Oh, let's help him. Living in unity does not mean we will agree on everything. There will be many opinions, just as there are many notes in a musical chord. But we must agree on our purpose in life, to work together for God. Our outward expression of unity will reflect our inward unity of purpose. I'll say that again. Our outward expression of unity will reflect our inward unity of purpose. I hear all the time the offer of prayer for people to come forward, as Rob was saying before, which is great. And if anybody is serious about this first step of making changes, wanting God to work in these transformations, be who God wants us to be, come and see me. I'm happy to pray, or get with someone you're happy with, or the last option, I'm going to leave a space in the middle of my prayer for you to pray your heartfelt declaration of a move forward in unity. It's something you can do between you and God. I beg you, don't let pride or stubbornness stand in your way. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you love each one here and you have a plan for us, and that when we truly seek you, we find you. Thank you that you are working in my life, and I am sure you are working in others too. And when we ask, you show us. Lord, as you speak and reveal more and more to your people, keep giving each one of us ears to hear, eyes that are open. And when you say, walk here, this is the pathway to follow. Help us listen. Yes, really listen to your voice and leading. Father, we pause at this time and come before you now asking to help each one, not because I'm asking, but because, Lord, you are asking. You're knocking on that door and have the key for transformation. Please pray now. Thank you.
have your amazing word, the Bible, but also that you desire a close and personal life with each one of us, and that you do talk and want to be personally involved. Love you, Lord.
Go in peace.